The following message was recorded at New Beginnings Church in Slidell, Louisiana. Please feel free to duplicate and share this message as you feel led. And you are invited to visit us at New Beginnings Church at 330 Robert Boulevard, Slidell, Louisiana, 70458. Our Sunday services start at 10 a.m. and our Wednesday evening services at 7 p.m. If you have any questions, call us at 985-781-4663. And may God richly bless you as you listen to this message.
We're going to venture into some new territory led by the Holy Spirit. I wasn't quite sure where we were going to go when we finished a series, the last one in about Easter and the things we were doing. And I just heard a direct encouragement from the Lord to speak about the Holy Spirit, because that's what came next in the when Jesus left, the Holy Spirit showed up. I don't intend to finish today's sermon today because I've got too much information. So I will go as far as I think you can listen, and then I will stop and pick it up when I get back in 3 weeks, and we'll continue from there. But the Holy Spirit is one of those topics that some people say, yay, we're going to hear about the Holy Spirit. And other people say, I don't know about that Holy Ghost stuff, you know, and I'm not interested in that. So it's always interesting when you bring the subject up, because we have these different conceptual ideas about the Holy Spirit. I wrote a newspaper article that will be published this week about this subject, since it was fresh in my mind. And part of the problem is the old King James, because he called him the Holy Ghost. You know, we're not too crazy about ghosts, especially down here in this part of the country. You know, I don't want no ghosts showing up. And I think it kind of brings a negative connotation. And as you'll see as we go through it, they really didn't translate it as well as they could have. I guess maybe it was an archaic word, and 1611 had a different impact on people than it does today. So, you know, that's part of it. And then the Holy Spirit just shook everything up. It just took the whole world, put it in a basket, shook it up and turned it upside down and dumped it out and said, hey, I'm here, guys. And he was doing stuff that people just didn't believe was possible. I mean, the Holy Spirit has just been a driving force in the church and changing things. If you ever think you're comfortable, the Holy Spirit will make sure that you get uncomfortable, because he just likes to do different stuff, all right? So he's multi-dynamic, if I can put it that way. So let's take a look, and I'll give you a nice long introduction to the series this morning. That's part of what I want to do. Don't you love that artwork? Man, when I saw that, I just got so impressed. I wish I'd have done that, but I found it, so that's good enough, all right? The work of the Holy Spirit. John chapter 16, verse 7. But I tell you the truth. This is Jesus speaking. It is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the counselor will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we implore your divine presence to help us as we study. Help us, Lord, to understand and conceptualize the things about the Holy Spirit, your Spirit, that we need to know in order to serve you and to experience the fullness of what it is that you'd have us to know and to experience. Father, if there's things that I haven't prepared, just bring into my mind that I will speak them. Things that I have prepared that you'd prefer me not to say, let the images just disappear from my mind and from my computer screen in front of me. And Father, so that what's said in this room this day will only be the words that you would say to us, the Church of the Living God. We submit ourselves to you in the precious name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. Amen. When Jesus was preparing to leave planet Earth and go back to the heavenly realm from which he came, he gave us a promise that is still in effect today. He hadn't changed his mind about it. He said, I am going to send in this translation that we have in front of us, the counselor. In fact, let me back up on this so we keep the scripture up here in front of us. He said, I am going away. The counselor will come. And he said, if I don't go, he won't come. The imagery of God is wrapped up in the expressions that we have about him, how he expresses himself. We kind of get wrapped up in the concept of the Trinity. What is that all about? I've heard of, more explanations and illustrations about who he is and how that works. And I'm not sure I get it. I'll be honest with you. I'm not sure I get it, but I know it. I know what it is. I just don't know that I can always conceptualize it. Other religions, and particularly Judaism, they think we have a pluralistic vision of God, that we have three gods, and we worship God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And the Old Testament says that God is one. And so there's that confusion. One of the things that I studied was kind of interesting is that the Hebrew word for one, the number one, is it's an interesting word where one can mean a plural. For instance, when Adam and Eve got together, it says that the two became one. So they didn't merge, and have, disappeared. They were still as two individuals, Adam and Eve. But when God saw him, he saw him as one. When we do weddings, it's one of the things that I speak about when I do a wedding. Because most people like that passage of Scripture, a man shall leave his father and mother, be joined unto his wife, and the two shall become one. And so, we talk about that in marriage. We say, well, we are individuals. We have our own personality as a husband and a wife. But that in God's perspective, when he sees us, he doesn't see us separately. He sees us as one. We're a unity. Paul comes along later and he says, behold, I show you a mystery, that when I speak about marriage, I'm speaking about the relationship between Christ and the church. We are one with Christ, all right? So we tend to divide this up in little compartmental ways. We say God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. But really, it's not our fault for doing it. It's the Bible's fault because that's the way it does it. It's the way God spoke. But Jesus tried to clear that up, and he said, look, guys, I'm in the Father, and the Father's in me, all right? And he said, and then he said, you're in me, and you're in the Father. It's one big happy one, all right? That's the way God sees it. So don't get confused about this when we start speaking about the Holy Spirit, that he's another God. He is God, and he is much God, and he's as much Lord as Jesus is God and Lord, and as much as the Father is God and Lord. But they have these different expressions. We see the Father expressed as the Creator. But we know that Jesus was involved in the creation, because if you go to the book of John in the New Testament, he says that he created all things, and without him, talking about the Word being Jesus, without him, nothing was made that was made. When in the creation story, it says, let us make man in our image. So you see the plurality there, okay? So, but when we think ourselves and we think of creation, we think of God the Father being the Creator, all right? There's nothing wrong with that. But we just have to be careful to realize that everybody was involved in the process. When we talk about Jesus, we talk about the Savior. We talk about Jesus being on the cross. But in the big picture of things, everybody was on the cross. Father, Son, and Spirit. Okay, because you can't separate them. God himself took upon himself the form of a man and died on Calvary's tree. Okay? Now, when we speak about the Holy Spirit, there are a lot of different words, and I'm going to go into some detail about this morning. He's called the Counselor. He's called the Helper, called the Comforter. He's called our Advocate. So he has his own role to play. So let's just divide it up for a minute. Now that I try to put it together, let's divide it up a little bit, all right? For our normal way of thinking, we think of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit as three separate entities. And they have, it's really three separate expressions of the same God. If I asked to see your wedding rings, those of you who are married, you would show me the wedding ring, and it has different aspects about it. It's gold, or maybe it's some other material. You know, it uses different material. It's round. It's got stones in it, you know, or it's got engraving in it. It's got a lot of different things about it that make it a wedding ring, but we call it a wedding ring. So when we say the Trinity, or we talk about God, we're talking about the whole thing, but there are different aspects and reflections of it. You see that? So, and we do that all the time. And we conceptually do that without trying to divide it up. When I was in seminary, I read a book. In fact, I read the book about three or four times. I was only had to read it once, but I read it three or four times because I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer, and I didn't understand it. And I wish I had a copy of the book. I tried to find a copy later, but I couldn't find it. It's in the library at the seminary. But it's called Greek and Hebrew Thought Compared. And we think, and the Bible says things differently in the very language of the Greek language as opposed to the Hebrew language. And it's the way the Hebrew or the Jews think as opposed to the way that the Greeks think. Let me give you an illustration. The word for chair in Hebrew literally says this: that chair is in the process of being there. It exists. That's all it says. It doesn't say another thing about it. If we were to take that same thing, and I wanted to tell you about a chair in Greek, because Greek is a very analytical language. That's why we have multiple names for the word love. You know, we have agape and filio and, you know, just et cetera. And they would say in Greek, if a Greek was describing a chair, it said, oh, it's got a back, it's got a little slant to it, it's got cushioning on this end, it's got some metal down the side, it's, you know, it's kind of a cream color on one side, and it's kind of a raspberry color on another side. It's about a foot and a half off the ground. It goes into great detail. That's why when we read the New Testament sometime, which was written in Greek, it's got a lot of words and a lot of descriptions. It's kind of, it goes over and over thing. It's the way the Greek mind thinks as opposed to the Hebrew mind. Case in point, Genesis 1:1, it says, in the beginning, God. And, you know, where'd he come from? What did he do? What's he look like? You know, how tall is he? How short is he? Where is he? That's the Greek mindset that we have, and particularly in America, because we're Europeans by and large, we've been taught to think that way. When you were in school, they taught you logic. They told you how to hypothesize and how an antithesis was the opposite of the hypothesis and how to reason things out. We work with reason. So we try to divide it up. It just says in the Hebrew language, in the beginning, God. That's it. That's good enough for the Jews. It's not good enough for us, because then we get over to the New Testament and we try to put Greek analytical thought process to it. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, you know, and nothing was made. You see? You see how all the words start plowing in to try to describe it? So the same thing goes into the Holy Spirit. Now, why am I telling you all this? Because if you don't get this, you'll get confused, all right? And we don't want to be confused. We want to be a revelation about how God is and how he works and what he's doing. We can't separate them. We can only see the different expressions of the same God. Y'all got that? How many would get an A on that test if I gave you a test? Maybe a C, maybe a B. I don't know if I get it myself. Actually, I pray diligently about being able to ask the Holy Spirit to be able to give me words and illustrations and thoughts that I could bring to you to help us understand this whole concept. We learn a lot about the work of the Holy Spirit from our text, okay? In our text, I'm backing up again. I think it's interesting that it starts off with, I tell you the truth. Okay, so this is something you can depend on. He's trying to tell us something. Jesus says, I'm telling you the truth. So nobody can come along and give you another story. You can write this down. This is the way it is. It is for your good that I'm going away. And all the disciples said, no, Jesus, don't be going. We just got you back. They hid you in the grave. You came back. You've been here for 40 days. Don't be bugging out of here. We want you to stay here. He said, I'm telling you the truth. It's for your good that I'm going away. If I go away, the counselor, and I'm going to describe this word a little bit more in a few minutes, will not come to you. So he's saying, this expression of God can't come until I go. The Father had his role. You know, we see him a lot in the Old Testament. You know, he's the big booming voice on the mountain, you know. He's the shadow in the cloud. You know, he's the writer of the law. He's the one who got up there with Charlton Heston. No, that was Moses, right? Moses and, you know, penciled it. You know, he did all things. You can't look at me. If you saw me, you'd die. He's involved in the ark. Don't touch it, you die. You know, that whole concept of God the Father, kind of the very stern, the law, very stern, written by a father. But he kind of backs out, and his only begotten son comes, which is Jesus. And so we see a more realistic, not realistic is not the word, we see an expression of God that we can better identify with, okay? I can identify with Jesus. He had two legs, two arms, one nose, two eyes. You know, he laughed, he cried, he walked, he got tired, he prayed. You know, I can dig that. I get it, all right? So Jesus is the best expression of God. In fact, it says that he is the image of his Father in many ways. He was totally man and totally God. That's what the Scriptures tell us. So everybody here identifies with Jesus pretty well. I mean, we get it. He was a human being, and we understand human beings, kind of. All right? So, but he was here, and he had a job to do. Just as God the Father had a job to do, Jesus had a job to do. And his job was to come here, tell us the story about God and what he wanted to do, and of his great love, install the new covenant, died on Calvary's tree. And he said, I need to go because there's another expression of God about to come. And if I don't go, he can't come. All right? So that's what this was all about. I'm going. Unless I go, he will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him. Think of it this way. It's kind of like a tag team, you know. God the Father, you know, does the Old Testament creation, everything. He says, slap my hand, take the little bar, and you run with it, Jesus. And Jesus ran. And when he got to the place where it was a relay race, he reaches out and he says, Holy Spirit, you take it and you run with it. So that's kind of the process that's taking place. We went from the God the Creator, the Old Covenant, Jesus introduced the New Covenant, the sacrifice, the Lamb of God, and then he left, and then the Holy Spirit came. I told you a couple of weeks ago, I believe, that as much as we have difficulty understanding this, Jesus is not here. He's not here. He's left. But he said something better was coming that was good for us. And the good is that we can all experience God simultaneously, all right? We don't have to stand in line and wait. You remember that movie, with God Almighty, I think the name of it was, and I can't remember the guy who starred in it. What was it? No. What is it? Jim Carrey, yeah. And they had this scene where he's on a teletype kind of thing, and he's answering prayers. And the prayers were coming in so fast, and he was trying to answer them. You know, and the paper was piling up. You know, he couldn't answer them because they were thinking in a single dimension, talking to Jesus, all right? God, the Holy Spirit, can do that. He can answer all of our prayers simultaneously around the world, and it's a piece of cake for him because he's equipped to do that. That is his job. Now, the Holy Spirit was sent on earth with an assignment as real and as true and as definitive as Jesus came with his assignment. Jesus came to die on Calvary's tree. The Holy Spirit came to empower the church for the work that the church was to do. That's his purpose for being here. In fact, the scriptures say that as long as he is here, the church is here. But when the Spirit leaves, all of the church is gone. There will be no church when the Holy Spirit leaves. That job will be done, okay? So once in, now they may have buildings with steeples on it, but they won't be in the church. When the Holy Spirit goes, everybody goes with him. All of those who are born again of the Spirit of God. All right? So the Holy Spirit is good for us just like Jesus was with us. Jesus said that the Spirit has come upon you, but now the Spirit will be in you. Now it starts getting dicey where we have difficulty conceptualizing that. How does that happen? Well, let me ask you, is there more to you than what I see? Well, sure there is. Let's say a stranger walks in. Okay, Tommy, you be my stranger. I never met you before. Hi, my name is Morris. What's your name?
Tommy.
Tommy, yeah. All right. Hey, you look Irish. Are you Irish?
Yep.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, okay. Kind of a big guy. You ever play sports, anything?
A little bit.
A little bit? What did you play? Tackle. Football.
Yeah. Oh,
that's what happened to you?
Yeah.
Concussions?
Yeah.
Is that what you're talking
about? Yep, that's exactly.
You don't know that about him.
Oh, no, no. That's right. I don't know him well enough to know that yet. But you see what he is? He's revealing things about himself that are more than just this Irish-looking guy sitting in a chair. All right? There's more to him. So there's more about God than what we can see. But we have the ability to understand it if we just think about it some. We have that capacity to know that. First, how many of you know about Abraham Lincoln? Raise your hand. Abraham Lincoln, all right? How many of you know him? Liz isn't here, so she can't raise her hand. I'm sorry, Liz, if you're listening, I love you. But we know about him, but we don't know him, all right? The only way to know someone is to experience them. I remember one time my mother used to like to watch QVC. And one day, Pat and I, she had her own personal UPS truck just to bring this stuff. Literally, you know, when she died, rest her soul, we found boxes unopened that mother bought from QVC. So well, we were over there one time, and Pat's talking to us. Mother's talking to Pat and I. And she said, oh, you know, Kathy has been sick, you know, and she was in a hospital. She's going on and on about Kathy. And we said, Kathy, we don't know Kathy. Who's Kathy, Grandma? She said, you know, the girl on TV on QVC. I said, but you don't know that woman. She's an image on a TV set. You don't know her. But, you know, but she thought she knew her, but she really didn't know. You don't know these TV personalities. You certainly don't know the people running for office. And, you know, you don't know them. Unless you know them one-on-one, what the Holy Spirit does is allow you to know God personally. And you do know him. And you've experienced him. And you have the ability to understand him because that is built into you. And I'm going to show you that in a minute. You got that? You see the difference? I don't know Jesus. I know about him. That's all it is. I know the story. I don't know him. I wasn't there when he was walking around. But I know He is God. And another expression of God is the Holy Spirit. And I know the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit testifies to me about Jesus. So I know Him vicariously through the Holy Spirit. And we identify with God the Father, God the Son, and the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit makes that happen. If you didn't have the Holy Spirit, all you would know about God is history lesson. That's why people think they know God, and they just know about Him. That's why we say, would you like to pray and invite Jesus into your life? That's why it's important to be born again. When you're born again of the incorruptible seed of Christ, which is that second Adam, resurrected Christ, and that Holy Spirit comes into you. That's why I tell you all the time, we've got such a poor image of what happened to us when Christ came into our lives. We are different. And we're different because the Holy Spirit now resides within us. He's the umpire of our life. He's the one who is with us. Jesus couldn't do that. Remember the movie Ghost? When Whoopi Goldberg and who was the other one? Good-looking guy. Patrick Swayze, yeah. And remember, he was a ghost, and he dove. There was a scene where he dove into her, and so she was starting to act and talk like him, all right? In a very poor way, that's kind of an illustration of what happens when the Holy Ghost comes in you, all right? You begin to move and act and think like Him. He is a controlling personality, expression of God residing within you. You see that? You see that? Jesus couldn't do that. The Holy Spirit can and does do that. That's why we change. That's why we think different. That's why we act different. That's why we're a different individual when God and the power of the Holy Spirit comes into our life. This is going to be hard. This is hard to do. It's hard for me to do it. And I already messed up today, and I determined I wasn't going to do it this way. The Holy Spirit is not an it. And we refer to Him as an it. We talk about the Holy Spirit. I said it a couple of times. You weren't paying any attention, but I was paying attention. I just did it by force of habit. It's Holy Spirit. That is what He is called. That is His name, if you will. We would be better off if we called Him, like Jesus called Him, the Counselor. And I'm going to give you, actually, it's another name. We should call Him a Paraclete. That's what it is. That's what the Greek word calls Him. That is His name, okay? And we got kind of messed up with that. And I think some bad translations into English kind of messed us up. And so we refer to Him as an it. He's not an it. He is a person. He is a personality. He is a reality, okay? So, God bless you. What was that? I heard a noise. I don't know what it was. All right. Now, this series we're going to go through, this is just the introduction to the series. We're going to cover the expressions of the Holy Spirit, the persuading power of the Holy Spirit. That's going to be a fun one. I'll tell you about that. The teaching of the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now, some of you are going to want to miss that day. No, you don't want to miss that, all right? The baptism of the Holy Spirit. You've been afraid of something you shouldn't be afraid of. The indwelling of the Holy Spirit, we'll be talking some more about that, which I touched on a little bit. And then the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And then probably a lot of other stuff as we go through it. I'm not real sure of all of the direction, but I believe the Holy Spirit will give me what I need. All right, so let's move into today's sermon. This is the first sermon. That was the introduction to the series. This is the introduction to the sermon. You got it? You having fun yet? Okay. The expressions of the Holy Spirit. You see, I did it to myself. I should have got the "the" out of there, all right? And just said Holy Spirit. John 1, 32 and 33. Then John, this is John the Baptizer, then John gave this testimony. I saw the Spirit come down from heaven as a dove and remain on Him. I would not have known Him except that the one who sent me to baptize with water, who was that? Was that Jesus that sent him? Did Jesus send John to baptize? Answer the question. Did Jesus send John to do baptisms? This is easy. No, he didn't. Now the Father sent him. See how it gets confusing in a hurry? This is, imagine a line right down the middle of this church, all right? On one side is the Old Testament, Old Covenant. On the other side is the New Covenant. John is a very interesting individual. He steps and stands on the line. He's the last Old Testament prophet, and he's the first New Testament prophet. So he's got a very unique role in history. God the Father from the Old Testament prophesied and sent him to do that, okay? So that's what he's saying, the one who sent him. The man who you see, and this is what he said, this is what he told him, the man on whom you see the Spirit come down. Now, if that would have been me, and I'd have been John, and I'd have heard that, the Spirit? How can you see a Spirit? Uh-huh. The one on whom you see the Spirit come down and remain is the one who will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. Interesting thought, isn't it? Yeah, we read past this stuff pretty quick. We don't stop and think about it. When we think about God, the expressions of God as Father, Son, we can easily understand the concepts, but the Holy Spirit leaves us a little bit perplexed. Okay? We don't get it. I'm going to say something that I'm not going to preach on today, but I'll preach on it because I'm not going to finish the sermon. We have the ability to understand spiritual things because God gave us that ability when he created us. I kid all the time. You've heard me say this. When somebody says, well, I can't come to be with you at the service, brother, but I'll be there in spirit. And I always tell you, you know what that means? Nothing. Because you can't do that. You know, you can either be there or you can be here, but you're not sending your spirit over here. The only difference is the Holy Spirit can do that. But we have the ability to understand non-physical things. Now, Bob, Lambert, don't jump up and shout when I say this, all right? Because I need to say something. I thought about Bob when I was going to say it. If you ever went to an LSU football game, you experienced a spiritual event. In that, there is a synergy. We use that word today. There's an energy. There's something there. And when you're in that stadium, and they bring that LSU marching band out onto the field, and they got those big tubas, and they go, da, 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 da. Everybody in that place gets goosebumps. Am I telling the truth, Bob? Those of you who have been to an LSU football game, isn't that the truth? That's the spirit of something. That is something intangible. You can't capsulize that. You can't put it in a bottle. You can't even repeat it. I've heard it. Not being there, I've seen it on TV, and it's just a band playing. But if you're ever there, and it happens, you will experience. That's your ability to experience spiritual things. You can do that. It's Tommy had mentioned earlier about if we were on the radio. He said, "I got an idea. Why don't we do the Pledge of Allegiance?" And we'll do that. But if we all stood up and said, let's pledge, say the Pledge of Allegiance, and we did, you would experience something. It's not just words. All the concepts of patriotism, of America, all those things come to being. When you hear the song played, our national anthem, something about it. That's the spiritual aspect of something that you can experience. My point is that you do it all the time. You just don't realize that you're doing it all the time. And that's what, the same way you can experience the Holy Spirit, but even in a greater way. So, the Holy Spirit shows up, and we can know it. Sometimes you run into people that you've never met before, and you know that they're a Christian. How do you know that? It's the Spirit of the Holy Spirit inside of you witnessing with Yvonne that the Spirit of God is in her, and there's a connection that is not physical. That is the Spirit of God at work. And we've all experienced that one way, shape, form, or another. You've been in services where you felt the power of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes in a service, when we're worshiping, you're experiencing the Holy Spirit. That is a non-physical dimension that is created by the presence of the Holy Spirit in you and among us. All right? That's how we can do it. That's how we can do spiritual things. And we can discern things and know things. It's all these things. And when, I'm getting ahead of myself, when we start talking about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, these things happen because the Holy Spirit, that non-physical entity that we normally think of, causes that to happen. Now, I'm going to tell you, give you a little testimony, and then I'm going to shut this down. I'm not even getting, I didn't think I'd get very far. And I didn't intend to. I don't want to rush this. In 1972, Pat and I got saved. We met Jim Hickman. Jim Hickman told us about Jesus. I prayed. Jesus came into my life. And the Holy Spirit came. I didn't know then what I know now, but I knew something happened to me, but I didn't know what it was. And I was really a different person. I don't even know who I was before now. I don't even know that guy. Because I received something that was not there. I was dead, as the scripture said, in my trespasses and sin. Now I've been made alive. That being made alive is the life of the Holy Spirit that now dwells within me. Remember we talked about, I think it was last week, that the life that I live by faith in the Son of Man who loved me, gave himself for me. I live by faith in him. That faith generates the presence of the Holy Spirit in our individual lives. So, we were so happy. Pat and I were so overwhelmed with being saved. You think I'm happy now? I was like the first time I met Pat and fell in love with her. I mean, we just couldn't leave each other alone. We just wanted to look at each other and coo and talk. That's where we were spiritually. I mean, we were just so excited about being saved. Unbeknownst to me, that at that time, and some of you who are old enough will remember it, was what we call today the charismatic movement was taking place. The Holy Spirit was being poured out across the world and was changing everything. We were in a church that would have fulfilled the biblical words of the book of Acts. We'd say, have you received the Holy Spirit since you believe? They would have said, we don't even know if there is a Holy Spirit. I mean, they weren't there. They would say they knew God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, but they had no idea what was going on in the charismatic movement. And as it turns out, because they didn't know it, they eventually threw us out, but that's another story. So this movement was afoot, and I had a friend who told me about it, about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I said, I don't even know that there is a Holy Spirit. I'm just so happy. I mean, my sins are forgiven. My life has changed. Whoop-de-doo, everything is great. Well, this friend of mine gave me a little book written by Pat Boone. It was a little paperback book. It couldn't have been 40 pages long. And Pat Boone was a big star at the time, you know. I mean, I knew about him. I'd seen him with his white shoes and, you know, singing and all that stuff. And I kind of was a Pat Boone fan. And so I read it. And when I read it, Pat Boone talked about the Holy Spirit. Well, I was smart enough by this stage in my new Christendom, I'm just a couple of months old, that because I had learned because of, I had been associated with churches before I received Jesus into my life, that if it ain't in the Bible, I ain't buying it. You know, I've been told too many lies by too many churches. And he had scripture in there. So I took his little 40-page book. I sat down with my Bible, which I did barely know how to use, and I looked up every one of those scriptures to see if it was there. So I read them, and every scripture was in there. And Pat Boone said, you can receive the Holy Spirit and get the baptism of the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And the big thing that he talked about a lot, he said, you can have the gift of tongues. I didn't know. The only tongue I knew is my mama used to cook tongues occasionally. You know, some of you people from the country know what that's all about. But, I mean, I didn't know anything. I really didn't know. But I was in the middle of the day, sitting up in bed. I didn't have a job at the time. That was the problem. that's another story. But I was looking for one. And Pat wasn't there. Nobody was in the house. We were at her mother and dad's house. So we were staying at the time because we couldn't afford to live anyplace else. Thank God for mamas and daddies to take you in. So we were there. And I got this little book. And I put that book down. I said, God, I believe this is true. It's all in the Bible. I would like to have the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I remember reading in the book, and Pat Boone says, well, if you ask, you'll receive. And he said, one of the things, this is Pat Boone speaking now, he said, you got to start using your vocal cords and your tongue. You need to start speaking. It said, just start praising God, singing if that makes you happy. Just get the mechanism going. He said, if you'll do that, you'll receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and you'll be able to speak in other tongues. So I'm sitting up in bed, and I said, God, I love you. Now, I had not been exposed to the charismatic movement, all right? So this is up. The little church we're going to, they're not involved in that. I didn't know about it. So I'm just saying, I love you, Lord. I love you. I love you. I'm not much of a singer, but I love you, Lord. You know, just kind of. And as I thought, I remember the song I had heard called Hallelujah. So, Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm by myself. Just kind of. Anybody walked in, they locked me up. All right. All of a sudden, I heard this. Oh God, what is that? And it won't stop. And it keeps going on and on and on. And I thought, my brain is trying to engage all this and understand this. I said, this is what Pat Boone was writing about. This is a miracle. I've never heard of this happening. This is a miracle. This is what's in the Bible. It's what they did, and it's happening to me. And I don't know how long I was going on, but it was for a pretty good while. And I thought, I wonder if I can stop. Can I stop? And I literally took my hand and went, Jesus? I went back to English. So, wow, is that cool? Is that cool? And I thought, I wonder if I can do it again. And I went, there it is again. No, it was, I'm telling you folks, it was amazing. Nobody taught me. Nobody laid hands on me. You know, we've done that 1,000 times. You know, receive the Holy Ghost. Bang! We push on him and pull on him and drag him. Nothing like that happened to me. So this is really exciting. And I don't know where Pat was, but she wasn't there. And I ran her down. I went looking for her, and I found her. And I told her what had happened. Well, she don't know nothing about the Holy Spirit either. And so I told her what happened. And I just started praying in tongues and speaking in tongues to her. And I think at this point she probably was, this marriage is not in very good shape. You're not making it any better right now, you know, with this kind of foolishness. But no, you know, she was very agreeable about what's going on. So that was like, if I had my original Bible, I don't have it. I got it written down in the date of it. It was in October sometime. But it was in like the middle of the week probably. That Saturday, the little church that we were going to was having a fellowship. And so we went to the fellowship. And we were there. And I hadn't told anybody because I hadn't seen anybody to tell anybody. But I was prepared to tell everybody what had happened to me. And I was sitting next to two folks and they started speaking. They were having a conversation. And I heard one say to the other, yeah, that baptism of the Spirit and that tongues, that's all of the devil. And I thought, huh? And so I said, what are y'all saying? And he said, yeah, and those people are running around. Now they're talking about the charismatic movement that had started, which I didn't know about. And he said, yeah, those people are running around, you know, speaking in tongues and that. That's all of Satan and of the devil himself. Now, these people have been in church for a while. These are no spring chickens. I mean, they had been around. And I thought, oh, God, what have I done now? You know, I was so happy being saved. I got mixed up with Pat Boone and them entertainment people, you know. And I really got myself in a dither. What am I going to do now? I was really, really perplexed. So later I went and I talked to Pat. I said, Pat, I don't know what that was, but them folks told me that was of the devil. So, I'm not doing that anymore. You know, that's over. That's done. And I really kind of forgot about it. No, that's not true. I didn't forget about it. I just put it away from me. And I use the old word that I don't use around here. I repented. I said, God, I confess that is sin. I'll never do that again. You know, and I really did. I can hear the Holy Spirit now saying, you're dumb as a rock, Morris. But at any rate, and I have a purpose for telling you this whole story because I've never given you all the sordid details. As life was moving on and I got a job and, you know, things began to progress in my life, every time I'd have a crisis in my life and I'd start to pray, the tongues would fall out. And I didn't play. And I'd say, I'm not doing that. I'm not doing that. I'm not doing that. It's not going to happen. As it turns out, months later, we got a house, we moved the house, we're living on 7th Street. There's a knock on the door. I walk up to the door, and here's this guy. And he says, hi, my name is, and he introduced himself. And he said, I'm with the church he named here at town. He said, I'm visiting newcomers. And we were a newcomer because we just moved into the house, so they had a list. And he said, I've come to know, tell people about Jesus. I said, oh, man, I know Jesus. He said, well, I don't have time to talk to you. He said, I'm just going to talk to people about Jesus. If you know Jesus, God bless you, brother. I'm on my way. And then he stopped and he turned back. He said, have you received the baptism of the Holy Spirit? And I thought, oh, you're the man I'm looking for. I drug him in the house. I said, tell me about that. So he starts telling me basically the same thing Pat Boone in that little book. And I said, well, man, you know, I had this experience, but they told me that was of the devil. He said, that's not true. It's not of the devil. That's what God. Now I'm really confused. A man of God, a holy man, a preacher, is telling me that this is real. So now I've got confusion. I don't know what to do. So I decided to do what I know how to do, to research it. I went on a journey for 2 years. Studying about the Holy Spirit. Now, I tell you, study. I'm talking about really. I went to the language. I dug it out, went through it. You know, but I never did tell anybody. Well, we had two good friends, and Roger and Laverne were their name. They met that preacher. This is years later. And he asked them where they went to church, And he named the church that we were going to. And he said, I met a guy over there. I went to his house one day, and he told me he had the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and he goes to that church. And he said his name was St. Angelo. And Roger LaVert said, Morris St. Angelo? And I said, yeah. They came straight to my house. And they said, you know, what's this thing about the Holy Ghost? I said, what do you mean the Holy Ghost? He said, we heard you speak in tongues. I said, who told you that? And they told me who told them. And I thought, that guy, I should have never told him. You know, so they said, well, can we have the Holy Ghost? I said, I don't know nothing about the Holy Ghost, you know. You know, I'm not into it. Roger, Laverne, I love you. It's not going to happen. Well, they began to nag me. They left. They came back later. And they started finding out about things that were happening. And so they wanted to get involved. And some period of time had gone by, maybe a couple of months. It's late at night, 10:30 at night. Knock on my door. Nobody knocks on my door at 10:30 at night. I got guns, all right? Yeah. They go to the door. It's Roger and Laverne. Roger walks to my house. Roger's a good friend. He's older than I am. He's a good friend. He said, okay, Morris, it's over with. You stop just sitting on the fence. You're going to tell me tonight about the Holy Spirit and how I can get baptized in the Holy Spirit. What am I going to do? I'm thinking to myself, and the phone rings. Thank God for phones. And I went and answered the phone. It's my office down in New Orleans. Computer's down. They need me down there right away. So I'll be right there. I hung up the phone and said, Roger, I got to go. I went and jumped in my car and drove down to New Orleans. So I hit the Twin Spans, and I'm going over it, and I'm really kind of going through this thing in my mind. And I said, you know what, God? I said, I've studied this out. As far as I can tell, it's in the Bible. And that day back in that bedroom when I was praying, I wasn't praying to the devil. I was praying to you. And I said, you know what? I believe it's true. I believe that it's true. And right now, I will begin to move in the area of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I will never deny you again. I'm sorry I said that was of the devil. Would you forgive me? Which I know he did. And I began to speak in tongues. I hadn't quit since. Came back, called Roger. He got baptized in the Holy Spirit. I think you were already baptized. No, you weren't. Okay, that's another story. That's another piece of the story. And we began the journey of moving in the power and in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. All right. Now, I told you all that because you need to hear that of all the things I am, I'm not a dummy. I may not be an A student, but I can get degrees. I know how to research. I know how to do things. What I know about the Holy Spirit is experientially, and I've studied it through. So if you're sitting on the fence out there and you're thinking maybe you're on the internet watching or not, and you say, well, I don't know about that, you know, that's not for me, you know, it's good for other people. It is for anyone and everyone who is in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ and is born again. And you need the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Okay? When we get finished with this series, before we get finished with it, we're going to have a time of prayer for those of you who would like to receive. And I'm thinking I want to do it today, but I don't want to do it today. I want to give you a chance to think about this. Now, you know me, and you know I'm not going to lead you down the primrose path. Now, what I'll tell you, you can stand on it. You can research it. And when things are my opinion, I'll tell you, what I know about the Holy Spirit, particularly in this area where I just told you, is not my opinion. It's based on the Word of God. When I study this out, this is my thing. And this is what I challenge you to do. Is it in the Bible? And I researched it, and it's not in one place. It's in a bunch of places, all right? It's in the Bible. The second question, is there any place in the Bible where it says that the gifts of the Holy Spirit and the baptism of the Holy Spirit ended? Now, I searched that out because I was told that it wasn't the Bible, but it had ended. There is no place in the Bible where it says it ended. No place. I've studied it through. I'm telling you, there's no place. And the third question that I answered is, what does it have to do with me? Does it matter to me? And it matters to me in that I believe that God wants us as believers to to receive the Holy Spirit. That's what the book of Acts is all about. People finding out, being empowered by the Holy Spirit. Okay? That's the introduction to the series, the introduction to the sermon, and I'm going to save the rest of it for when I get back in town, and we'll go through it in a little bit more detail. Okay? Are we all right? Have I confused anybody? You know, you kind of get it. And I hesitated about telling you that long story about myself, but I think it helps you understand where I'm coming from and what I believe about it. And I know that we tend not to be real over-the-top Pentecostal. It's kind of my personality. I'm kind of a quiet guy. You wouldn't think that, but I really am. But, you know, it's I'm all in. I mean, I like praying in tongues and doing all the other stuff. So let's all stand. Okay? All right. Father, we thank you in the precious name of Jesus, through the power of the Holy Spirit, we come to you today. Lord, I believe that you've been speaking to us. Father, let the truth of the Holy Spirit speak to everyone in this room, those who are listening by the internet, those who will be listening later, a delayed broadcast, maybe on the radio or the podcast. I ask you to speak to them as clearly as you spoke to me that night out on the twin spans when I knew it was you for sure. Let that happen, that we might be the people of God fully equipped for these last days. Father, if what's being said is true, and I suspect that it is, that these are the days, these are the days that could be the wrapping up of eternity, that we will need all the resources that you have available for us through the Holy Spirit. Teach us what we need to know that we might follow you. We thank you, Lord. We love you, Lord. We rejoice in you. And we pray together in the name of Jesus. Everybody said,
amen.
Amen. You're dismissed in the name of the Lord. If you need prayer, I'm up here. I'll be glad to pray for you.